So I start this morning, I woke up and I wanted to know what it was what God, what is it? Lord, what is it? And he wanted me to preach to you today, teach to you today, talk to you today, tell you today about the ministry of the hand of God. That you know that there's a ministry in the hand of God. There was a ministry in Jesus Christ in his hands. Hallelujah. And all of us that do have hands, if you follow the script, there's a ministry in your hands. Hallelujah. We always talk about the many miracles that Jesus performed, but this is the only one that we're going to talk about today that all four Gospels have written about it. It is the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And everybody heard about Jesus feeding the 5,000. But it's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, and it's in John. Being that it was in all four Gospels, that means that it was very important. When somebody tells you something four times, I think that we should pay attention. Sometimes we need somebody to repeat something to us for us to realize that it pays attention. Sometimes my wife says something to me the first time and I don't hear it. I do, but I don't. But by the second and the third, but by the fourth time, I know that I need to pay attention. Somebody say amen. And don't just look at me, because you do the same thing too. But anyway, this miracle was designed by the Lord to do more than just feed a multitude. It was designed to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah of the Jews. It was to reveal to them his nature as God. In fact, there are three distinct reasons that this miracle was performed. The first is to illustrate that Jesus Christ was the bread of life. Number two, it was to show the Jews that there was one greater than Moses, and he was there. And number three, it was to demonstrate the power of the Lord over all creation. Not some of creation, but over all of creation. You see, John puts it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with us, and Jesus is the Word. Hallelujah. So in the beginning, Jesus was with us, and he's over all creation. So when we get to other miracles that Jesus did, the difference between this one and some of the other ones, and most of all the other ones, there's another one that he used his power to create. When he changed water to wine, he created wine from water. But all the other miracles that Jesus did, it was not from creation. He did healing. He did other miracles. Everything else, he used a resource that was already there. Amen? So when the woman by the well came by, he spoke to her. He spoke life into her. He healed her of that adulterous spirit. Amen? But she was already there. He took the water and he created wine out of it. He took the loaves of fish, the loaves of bread, and the two fish, the few fish, and he created a meal for multitudes. Amen? So Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 14 to 21, reads as thus. And in preceding this verses that I'm going to read, Jesus is just grieving over the death of his cousin and his good friend, John the Baptist. So verse 14 starts, as Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they might go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Now, I'm just going to stop right there for a second. Because the disciples are telling Jesus, this place, we're in the middle of nowhere. These people are going to get hungry. They need to go somewhere and get themselves something to eat. In other words, they were already displacing themselves from the responsibilities of finding thousands of people something to eat. Now, we all done things like that, right? We tell people, well, you know, it's getting late. You better go home now. It's getting dark. You know that it's getting close to time to eat. And you have something for them to eat. So you remind them that you know it's close to dinner time. So the disciples were telling Jesus, you know it's close to dinner time. They need to go find them something to eat. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And when they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. He told them, sit down. Sometimes when God is getting ready to bless you, he says, sit down. The scripture said he commanded them. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. When somebody gives you a command, you do it. He said, sit down. He took 5 loaves, 2 fish. There's that number 7 of completion. And it says, and when they were filled up, they didn't go around with a little spoon and say, give me your plate, and portioned it off. The scripture says, and when they were filled, some people eat a lot, don't they? Some people eat a lot. Some people are greedy. They eat more than they have to eat just in case. They don't know when their next meal is going to come. So they eat more than enough. The scripture said, and when they were filled, there was 12 baskets left. I wonder if that 12 was a basket for every disciple. I don't know, but these numbers are starting to hit home. And when they had eaten, were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. See, feeding 5,000 was really somewhere between 15 to 25. Because for every man, there might have been a wife and some children. And we know that some people have more children than others. That time, it was a blessing to have a whole lot of children. Amen? So 5,000 men don't mean 5,000. It means 15 to 25. And we know that this was a tremendous miracle. And this is the way that Jesus showed himself as the bread of life to all of humanity. And at other times, we like to think of how the Lord can just take a little bit and make a lot out of it. Isn't that amazing? You see, we think that we have a lot, and we got a little bit compared to what he has. And he only asks us for a little bit, but we don't even want to give a little bit because we think that little bit is going to be make that little bit less of what we have. But the Bible says that he takes a little bit and makes a lot. Your little bit, he will make it a lot. Because what you see in that, God sees more. But today, I don't want to look at this miracle from the bread and the fish. I want to see how the Lord just took five small pieces of biscuits. You know, that boy had, it was a little boy. That was his lunch. That was his lunch. Maybe his dinner too. I don't know. But all I know is five little biscuits, two little fish. I don't know. I don't think that they had like Popeyes out there. But I know when I used to go to Popeyes years ago, they used to give you nice biscuits. And they started getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So when I think of a biscuit, it's about that big. Amen? So the boy had five biscuits. They didn't say it could have been a great big boy. It could have been a little boy. They don't define what this little mean, little in age, little in size. All we know was he was a boy. He didn't have a man-sized portion. He just had a little bit. But see, Jesus took that little bit and made it a lot. Jesus can take your little bit and make it a lot. But like I said, I don't really want to talk about the bread and the fish. I want to talk about the process. There's a process to what Jesus does. And if we emulate the process, our little bit is going to become a lot. You see, because we always listening to people say, if you pray to the Lord and you ask him for $1 million, it's gonna come. Ha, that ain't true. But I'll tell you this, if you follow what God says, he'll take your little bit and he'll make it a lot. I'm not going to try to tell you the mechanics of what Jesus did because as a human being, I can't understand that. But what I want to point out to you is this. There was a ministry of the master's hand. And if you feel like you're insignificant this morning, I want you to know that there's a ministry that Jesus Christ has that will make your little bit a lot. Because when you feel insignificant, the world wants to make you feel little. We're all the same in the sight of the Lord. Amen? Just remember what Jesus does with this bread. The first thing that he did is he blessed the bread. Amen? It says Jesus took the bread and he looked up to heaven and then he blessed the bread. I want to know what that little bit that you got, do you take it and you say, thank you, Jesus? Or are you looking down at your little bit? Jesus took that bread in his hands and he looked up and he blessed the bread. Very often at that time, When the Jews prayed, it would go something like this. Blessed be thou, O God, O Lord, our God, the King of the world, who has produced this food and this drink from the earth and the vine. The point is, Jesus took this bread in his hands and he looked up to heaven and thanked God for his provision. He set the standard for what we should do as well. So I want to know, do you always take the time to bless, to thank God for the food that he gives you? Do you thank God for the provision that he has given you? Do you say when you look at your little itty-bitty piece of weenie car and say, thank you, Lord, I can get to work. I can get to the store. I can take my babies when they got to go to the doctor. Do you look at it that way? Or you're looking around at somebody else's Lexus and their Cadillac and their Rolls and their Bentley. The same vehicle, no matter what size, will take you from here to there. Jesus blesses the lives of his people. Think about the blessings that he has put upon you since the day that you were born. When he placed his hands upon your life, you know none of us would be here right now if he didn't bless us. If he didn't place his hands upon our life. Somebody told me it's a near-death experience birth. Jesus blessed you the day that you were born. We love our life when Jesus is blessing us. When things are good at home, Jesus is blessing us. Everything is great. When this church is glorious and everybody's jumping around and shouting, the Lord is here and this place is blessed. But just think for a moment how the Lord has blessed your life. Remember the prayers that you answered, that he answered for you? Do you remember the mountains that he moved for you? Do you remember when your needs that you didn't know how you was going to get it, they were met? Do you remember the times he came by you and held your hand when you felt all alone and nobody was for you and everybody was against you and you felt the presence of the Lord there? Do you remember the lonely times at night that you laid there and you tossed and you turned because there was nobody by your side and you felt lonely and Jesus was there for you? His blessings are always wonderful and he gives it to us freely. And I want to know, do you thank him for that? Do you say, thank you, Jesus? And do you really mean it when you say it? Hallelujah. We should be aware of the Lord's blessing. I was listening to the song this morning. This is the air I breathe. What would you do without air? What would you do without air? What would you do if you had to pay for it? Every day I'm breathing rarefied air because it is good. And it's free. And I'm blessed because he's given it to me. We all love the Lord when he's blessing us, don't we? Just a reminder that the Lord doesn't expect us to repay him for his blessing. Amen? We can't pay him back. Come on. We can't pay him back. But if you listened the other week, I said he deserves a copay. Don't forget your copayment. I'm not leaving that one alone. All that he wants is our love and our obedience and our praise. Is he getting that from you? Is he getting that from you? I mean, those are three words, but they kind of encompass a whole lot. Amen? Going back to the scripture, going back to the procedure, it says, and then he broke the bread. the master. The master broke the bread. So after he blessed the bread with his hands, he used those same hands to break the bread. The reason, before the bread could be shared with others, it had to be broken. Well, I'm going to stop right there for a minute, because there's a theme there that goes on, that before something could be shared, it's got to be broken. You can't share something that's whole, because either you have it or the other person has it. Amen? But if you're going to share something, it's got to be broken. One of the hardest things that we have to understand as Christians and as people is that God, those people that God wants to use greatly, he breaks you deeply. Sometimes you wonder why you're getting hurt so deep. It's because he's breaking you so he can share you. There's a period of brokenness that always comes before usefulness. Somebody say amen. Somebody should know what I'm talking about. Somebody went through something, didn't know why they were going through it. And when you went through it, God showed you the reason why. Because you were helping somebody else. You were a blessing to somebody else. Somebody heard you, changed their life around. You think that you're too good to be broken? Jesus Christ came down here to be broken for our sins. He tried another way. It wouldn't work that way. The only way we could understand is something had to come down. Something had to be broken. Somebody had to make that sacrifice. Somebody had to share with us. We always want the blessings because they're nice. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the breaking and the brokenness are necessary. Look at Job. Hallelujah. He was blessed in life, but he had to be broken. And Job shared, when we share his story, we understand that we ain't got it that bad. Somebody killed all his family, his sons and his daughters, took everything from him. Friends talked about him. Sores grew up all over his body. The first thing that everybody wants to know, well, what did you do? Who did you offend? Why couldn't he just be a child of God, being broken to be shared? When some of us are going through something, the first thing we want to ask somebody, well, what did you do? Why is this happening to you? Maybe God is breaking that person so he can use them. The reasons that God breaks us, it's not always the same. Hallelujah. He broke me for ministry. He might have broke you for evangelism. He might have broke you to sing. He might have broke you to sing. He might have broke you to shout. He might have broke you to give out tracts. He might break you to go into the hospitals and be a witness. He might break you so you can speak to young people. There's no understanding of why God does the things he do. We all got different assignments. But the greater he wants to use you, the more brokenness you're going to go through. Look at Daniel. All the things that Daniel went through. Look at Noah. Look at the three Hebrew boys. Hallelujah. Look at the disciples in the boat. Look at the woman at Zephar. The Lord sent Elijah to this. He said, go on down there and get you something to eat. I got a widow waiting for you. And he says, the Lord sent me to you to get something to eat. And she must have looked at him like he done lost his last mind. She said, I got a little oil. I got a little bread. This is just enough for me and my boy to eat. And we're going to eat this because we ain't got nothing else. She didn't say, you must be out of your mind. She didn't give him the look. I know y'all didn't think I could do that, but that's all right. But she didn't give him the look. She said, this is what I have. Elijah said, don't worry about it. God already told me that you're going to have that and a lot more. She did what she was told to do. She fed the man of God. And you know what? She ate and she ate. She ate and she ate and she ate and she ate. They never said that they died from starvation. They ate and they ate and they ate. God, she had a little bit. And she shared when God said to share. And she ended up with a lot. The methods that God uses to break us are different. Hallelujah. Daniel, they put in the den of lions. Noah, he had them building this big boat and it was sunny. It was sunny. He said, a storm is coming. It's going to rain. And he was building a boat and people thought he lost his mind, but he kept on building. How about sometimes God's got you building a boat and it's sunny outside and people are looking at you like you're crazy and you got to keep going and keep going because God has put you on that assignment. He's given you that to do. Your family. What are you doing that for? Your friends, your sons, your daughters. Those are the main ones that will be trying to influence you because the enemy don't care who he uses. Matter of fact, those closest to you are the most eligible ones. Look at Paul, all other things that he went through, put in prison, whipped. He says, listen, one thing that I desire, Lord, is that you never depart from me. When you're going through things, just say, Lord, praise you, I thank you, and never depart from me. Let me always feel your presence. Hallelujah. What we learn in these lessons is that the furnace is hot. We learn that the furnace can be anything. And we learn that the furnace can be any place. Any place. Amen. Hallelujah. So we go back to this process because it says that he blessed the bread with his hands. Then it said that it broke the bread with his hands. Then he shared it with his hands. Hallelujah. He broadened the bread. Amen. The 5 loaves and the 2 fish were just enough to feed one boy, but they fed a multitude. Amen? Amen? Some of us are going through things in our life right now. The process is to bless it. You're not hearing me. See, when you're going through something, I'm saying bless it. Because ain't nothing that you go through that God did not allow to happen. There's nothing that he don't know. He knows you don't know. So you bless whatever's going on. Because when you bless it, you know God is going to see you through it. And then you break it. That means you share it with people. Sometimes you go through things and people don't want, you don't want people to know that you're going through things. What are you hiding for? You're a child of God. Whatever it is you're going through, he's got everything under control. Tell him, I don't know why I'm going through this, but I know my God is king. He's Lord over everything. Watch me through this. Break your bread. Break your strife. Break your depression. Break your anger. Break all of that stuff the enemy's trying to put on you. Break it. Then you share it. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's going to see me through, I am an overcomer. I'm victorious right now because Jesus Christ is in control. Now you're working with the master's hand. Now he's using your hand. Now you're doing just as Jesus did. And multitudes. Multitudes will be blessed by your experience, by your faithfulness, by your understanding, by your compassion. And you're saying, well, Pastor, how does that happen? How does that happen? I spoke to you. How does that happen? I spoke to you. That's two people. How does that happen? It happened because we all get on social media. Because we know something that happened to somebody. We all get on the phone and we talk to somebody about something that we heard. A friend of mine, a friend of a friend of mine. God has made a way that we can break this bread and we can share it with so many people without the foolishness that's going on. We got a tool and we got tools that we can use. It's up to us to decide what we're going to use it for. But God has given us tools that we can use. But the most important tool that he does use is you. There is power in the name of Jesus. And if there's power in the name of Jesus, and you're a son or a daughter of the Most High, then you got power. So I want to know where the power is. Where's the power? The power is supposed to be in you. Where's the power? Bless the situation that you're in. I'm talking to somebody right now because they're going through something. Don't know who it is, but it's okay. Bless the situation that you're in. Job tried to curse God, but he ended up realizing that he had to bless the situation that he was in. Bless the situation that you're in. Who's bothering you now? Bless them. They won't know how to handle it. Pray for them. They don't know what to do. Because the devil and the name of Jesus Christ cannot occupy the same space at one time. There's only room for one. Two cannot exist. When you're married to Jesus, you can't have a boyfriend on the side. So when you got him, it's him. Call the name of Jesus. The devil's got to run. The devil's got to leave. The devil's going to go. Let us stand this morning.